Welcome to Coaching Conversations with Margo Myers. This podcast is produced by Shipley Coaching, where discovery inspires growth.
Hi, I'm Margo Myers, an executive and performance coach who coaches people on leadership, communication, and career success. And I am thrilled to be bringing you this podcast today, and we are talking about project management. Joining me for this podcast is certified performance coach Dawn Jones, who's also an international speaker. She's a corporate trainer. She's also the author of several books, including the international best-selling Top 7 Personality Challenges. And we're also talking about coaching different personalities when you're working on a project, because sometimes, you know, we're all different people, right? And communication can be such an important part of project management. So thanks for joining me, Dawn. And let's talk for a moment about why it's important to understand the different personalities when we're working on a project.
Many people think there's a similarity between being a project manager and managing projects, and they're two totally different things. Oftentimes, a person who's just managing projects has been given projects to complete, and somebody else is driving when it needs to be done, who needs to be involved, and so on. But a project manager, per se, is responsible for running the project with the three constraints on every project of time, quality, and budget. Now, here's the big difference. The project manager is responsible for the project, and they don't necessarily have authority over the people they're working with on the project. And there are many stakeholders who have different things invested that they want to make sure are done on that project.
Yeah, it can get highly matrixed and very complicated very quickly.
Yes.
So when we're talking about the language and communicating with some of these different personality styles, can you tell me more about that?
Sure. Well, to answer that, I want to ask you a question and then also your audience a question. Have you ever traveled to a foreign country or someplace where they speak a different language than you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what are some things that you have done to prepare yourself for that type of a trip?
Oh, I might take a little translation book, or I might practice just a few phrases that I know I'll be using, like please and thank you and those types of things. So I'll familiarize myself with some of the things that I know I'll be using on the trip.
Absolutely. And as you know, one word in a foreign country, for example, when we traveled to Italy, I was going around telling everybody what I thought was Happy New Year. But apparently the word for annual in Italian is very similar to another part of the human body. And I was saying the latter, not the former. So it's really important that you learn the language. Oh, yeah, excuse me, yeah, but it opened some wonderful conversation unbeknownst to me. So anyhow, it's really important to learn the language of the people you're working with, including your tone, your tempo, your body language. Because just like traveling to a foreign country, it can be the difference between having an amazing trip and communicating wonderful things with the people or having a trip filled with frustration.
Yeah, literally, you cannot understand each other or speak the same language. And I totally get that. So how does that travel analogy, how does that translate to the workplace?
All right, well, let's tie it into the workplace, specifically if you are a project manager or you're coaching project managers. There are three things that are extremely important. Number one, clearly communicating the instructions, as you stated earlier, in that personality language. Number two, tune into that WIFM, that WIIFM, and you've probably heard that referred to as that radio station that people are listening to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, WIIFM, which is what's in it for me. And that's what people are asking in the workplace. They're saying, speak my language. So I can, if I understand what it is what people are saying, I'll do it. So tuning into that. And then three, completing the project on time with the highest quality and then also under budget. So let's say you're working with somebody from a foreign department, such as the executive team or the IT department or the admin department or sales and marketing. You've got four distinct departments that have four very different styles of communication and temperament. So the key here is to learn enough of the department's personality language to clearly communicate and coach in their language so their goals and their objectives of a project can be accomplished.
Well, and I think the other important part of that is not just do the different departments have different temperaments and, you know, mini cultures, if you will, but then you add another layer because then you have the people and the individuals
Absolutely.
Who also have their personalities and their communication styles. And we all know that you want to make sure that your message is being heard and received the way that you intend as well. When you're speaking communication, I mean, that's probably one of the primary things as a project manager. So let's talk a little bit about what's the best way to communicate and coach, if you will, each style on a project. Can we dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, that sounds good. And I want to address something you did say about the layers, because personalities is a place where people start. It's very fundamental. It's very basic. Many people have taken a Myers-Briggs or a DISC or the four lenses unfolded. And in my book, The Top 7 Personality Challenges, what I did was address the seven primary challenges you have with each style. Because granted, you've got the fundamentals, which are the four primary styles, but you also have the different temperaments. You have the cultural differences. You have the male-female differences. You also have the strengths finder differences. You can have people have completely similar personality styles and be complete opposites when it comes to being, what are their strengths? So this is a really great way to identify the basics about a person so you can begin to match and mirror their style, match your tone, your tempo, your body language, and then also match their wording. So does that answer part of your question? Then we can delve a little bit deeper into the individual styles. Is that okay?
Yeah, it does. And I guess one of my questions is, you know, before we get into that, how do you identify the different styles? I mean, you can kind of tell from the different the different departments maybe, and how right. well you know those people, but do you have a way to quickly identify the communication style, or what should we be looking for there?
Great question. And well, let me first identify the four styles that I address in my book. We have your direct style, your thinker analyzer, your social extrovert, and your relational style. And I will address the types of jobs they tend to be drawn to. And this is just generally speaking. Your direct style is going to be drawn to positions of power, positions where they're telling people what to do. They're very comfortable being direct, bottom line, to the point. As far as their tone, tempo, and body language, they use less words. They have a strong command, so they stand tall. Even the way I'm speaking right now, it's very abrupt. Not necessarily relational. When you get an email from this person, it's very direct and to the point. So when you're speaking with this style, you notice how I've just softened my tone just a little bit. If I were to speak with that direct style in this soft tone, it would come across almost as being placating to them. Now, here's where you can still use that soft style if you are direct with a bit of intensity in your voice and you get to the point. Now, where that's beneficial for you when speaking with the direct style is you're not going to give them that, I'm intimidating you, I'm trying to challenge your authority, and I'm going to speak the exact same way back to you that you're speaking to me. So you pretty much can size it up when you see a person, how they're standing, how they're speaking, their position of leadership, such as many direct type people are drawn to the executive team. So that would be one style and one explanation. And then there's three more. So before I give you those three, what, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's being an observer and really yes. paying attention, which is what we do as coaches, right? I mean, it's really being present enough to pay attention to those types of things, the body language, the title, their speaking style. So those things as a coach are, I guess, some of the things that we would want to be paying attention to help us identify what's going to be the best way to communicate with this person.
Absolutely. And if you are coaching that direct type of person, since we've started with them, definitely they prefer a little bit more pushback than another style. It's okay to, they're used to confrontation. They're used to somebody standing up to them if they have a difference of opinion. It's just the manner in which you do it as a coach is definitely coming in with that curiosity factor. I'm curious. You stated this was important. Tell me what about that is most important. So you're still being direct, yet you're coming in with the curious or help me understand. You're asking for help, but you're not doing it in a way that is coming across as weak. You're doing it in a way that's coming across as genuine. I need help to understand what you're doing and where you want to go so that I can ask the right questions to help you get there.
Right. And you don't want to do it in too soft of a way because that they won't respond to that well. Totally get that. Okay. So let's dive into the other types. What are the other types that we might find?
So I moved into the thinker analyzer type, and that type is oftentimes you can find them in the IT department, and you can also find them in accounting and bookkeeping. These are the people who are really, really smart, and you know you're working with a thinker analyzer if they have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and a backup plan just in case. Okay, now, like the direct style, these people also tend to be very linear, very methodical. And the difference is they are a lot more random. So for example, a direct style might go, they're looking at the big picture on a project, for example, and maybe there's 26 moving parts. So from A to Z, the direct person is going to be looking at, okay, here we've got A, we've got F, we've got G, and we're down here at RST. Whereas the thinker analyzer, for them, it's really important to move. Okay, we've got A, we've got B, we've got C. Okay, wait, D's missing. Where's D? We can't move forward until we have D. So you've got to make sure all of the rungs of the ladder are there, so to speak. And then if you are asking that thinker analyzer type person to step out of their linear path, so to speak, let them know you're going to come back to it. Say, hey, let's take a bird's eye view. Let's zoom out and look at the big picture of this project. So if you're taking that style somewhere, make sure you tell them where you're taking them. The other thing here is this style, they don't care so much about your opinion or even feelings many times. They want the facts and they want the data. Now, feelings are still important to this style, yet you're going to be hard pressed to dig that up. So from a coaching perspective, you might not want to ask them, how do you feel about that? Because that can be a trigger word for many of them to just shut down and think to themselves from an analytical perspective, my feelings don't really have anything to do with this project. It's all about completing the task on time, under budget, with the desired quality, and I've got to report to the hierarchy and my bosses and the stakeholders. So you can still address that by asking other questions like, okay, well, how is this going to impact you if you are behind schedule? What's going to happen? And then let them tell you, but staying away from touchy-feely words like feelings, use words like impact or outcome or how does this affect you? And let them move into that area of emotion on their own without feeling like you're leading them there. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. I've got a couple of engineers that I work with that we don't go into the emotion part, but we do exactly what you said and kind of, you know, go through the back door to how is this going to affect you?
Yep.
And what comes up for you then? Those kinds of coaching questions.
And all right. So the best way to coach this style is I want you to include questions that are smart, linear, logical, very thoughtful, and with a bit of quick wit, because these people are oftentimes, they're really, really smart, but because they're oftentimes internal, they're hard to read, and they will think a lot of their thoughts internally versus vocalizing them externally.
Okay. So what would the next type be?
If we were to move into the admin type, so people who are, I would describe this style as your relational style. And I'm also going to bring in, I mentioned earlier the different personality,
types?
No, not types, the assessments, there we go. So the different personality assessments, one of them is called Four Lenses Unfolded. And I bring this in here because, but in Four Lenses Unfolded, they talk more about temperaments, whereas I'm focusing just on personalities. But this is important to know because this would be considered a blue style, or as I would call a relational style, but they also have a very strong gold temperament in the area of organization skills. And here's what I mean by that. That would be like a direct style that has strong organization skills. Now, not all direct people on my scale are very good with the details. That's why they hire admin assistants and executive assistants, because they fall short in those detail areas, and sometimes they fall short in the relational areas. So they need that buffer. You know, the relational style or that blue style stops the people coming in to see that direct person, stops them from losing it or losing their patience with that boss, because they don't necessarily understand that dominant gold or that dominant driver, direct type personality. So here, this style understands the importance of being direct. So a great executive assistant, a great admin assistant understands how to be direct with both their boss and then also with the team, yet they're really relational and nice in the way that they do it. You know, you're working with a relational person, with, like, for example, in the emails they'll send you. They'll send you something like, "Hey, Margo, I hope you had a wonderful weekend," or, "Oh, the leaves are turning. I hope you got to get out with your family." They'll focus on things that are relational. When they're speaking with you, they'll ask you things like, "Well, do you have kids? Well, how are your kids? Where do you live? How long have you lived there?" So they're very interested in the personal details. And if you're new to a company or new to an organization, they're the person who, they welcome you in, they introduce you to the other team members, and then they show you the most important parts, like where's the kitchen and where's the bathroom, you know? So they're the ones who want to make sure that you feel super welcomed and included in what's going on. Now, that's the relational side. Because they have the ability to get things done right, get things done on time and within budget and with the quality desired, they're probably the most flexible of all styles, and oftentimes they're the style that is most underappreciated because they don't barge in, they are adaptable, they do consider others higher than themselves. And this is a style we got to be really careful that we appreciate them. Make sure that we go out of our way to appreciate the small things and do it in a way that is personal. It's one-on-one. So with this style, notice my tone is softer. And even though I'm being direct, I'm looking you, like as we're speaking right now on our interview, I'm looking you in the eye. You speak at a slower pace, be relational, be direct, and be considerate. You do not want this to exploit this person and say, "Hey, look what so-and-so did. Let's put them up front and center. Let's woohoo, happy dance." No, this is not the style that you do that with. And in fact, they may start underproducing if you put them in front and center. So thoughtful, methodical, considerate, and appreciative.
Yes, all good to know. I want to back up for just a moment, because if people are not familiar with what the Four Lenses assessment is, let's go over the colors real quickly here, just so people have maybe a more clear understanding. It is based, I think, essentially on the Myers-Briggs personality types, mm-hmm. but in the Four Lenses, there are four colors.
Correct.
Orange, gold, blue, green. So
correct.
Maybe briefly you could just speak to each color and what we might find in that assessment.
Absolutely. And the orange style is actually the one we're about ready to move into. I call that my social extrovert style. What I really appreciate about the Four Lenses is the gold style is the highly creative. And what they've tapped into with the temperaments is you've got the highly creative that draw their energy and get rejuvenated from being around people. You know, that just gets them turned on and they're larger than life and the creative juices are flowing and you can hear it in my tone and my tempo. And if you could see my body language during this interview, my arms are everywhere, right? What I appreciate about what they did though, is they understood that the orange creative can also be that introverted type. The person that draws a lot of energy from being creative when they are left alone. So an example that most people could understand outside of the workplace, a highly energetic creative person would be somebody who would be the front man in a band or the actor or actress on stage in live theater. The person who draws things creatively internally, this is going to be someone who's more maybe more of that painter or the piano player that is a little bit more internal in their expression of that creativity. So that's just from a broad perspective from an entertainment side. That's your orange. Your gold, those are going to be your people who are highly organized, highly direct. They get things done. They move at a quicker pace. They speak at a quicker pace. They are task-driven, goal-oriented, and they're just the natural leaders, so to speak. So
what about the blue?
The blue is going to be more melancholy, more relational, and this is also can be a creative style as well. Yet again, it's going to be more internal. So the blue is going to be more thoughtful, more considerate, and looking at the big picture of a project. How does this impact people? They're a lot more people focused when they're engaging and interacting with people. And then the green, these are your people who are, just think your IT people, your thinker analyzers. They come to meetings, they have the pocket protector, the different colored pens, they have thought things out 12 steps ahead. They're looking, when something is given to them, they're integrating all of the pieces together. You know, these are the people who were probably great at the Rubik's Cube when that was a big trend. They just are really good at putting all of the pieces together. And again, they are task-driven, goal-oriented, but they tend to be more get it done right. And so one of the challenges with that particular style can be they might go run over on their project because you got to do it right. Whereas a gold style might be, you got to get it done. Whereas the, the blues, let's go to the orange style. The orange style is, we've got to have fun while we're doing this. Okay, let's have some fun while we're doing this and let's enjoy the process. And then the blue style is, okay, make sure we all get along while we're doing this. So I can tie that into the last explanation of the social extrovert on my scale, unless you had another question before I go there.
No, that's okay.
Okay, so a couple things with the social extrovert orange type personality. If they are that highly creative extroverted person, they tend to be drawn more to the sales department where they can go out or there can be a professional speaker or they can be the team trainer. They love being in front of people and making a difference in people's lives and engaging with people. That's extremely important to them. They can also be in the marketing department. And the marketing department is going to be a bit more introverted. They're going to have smaller groups and they're going to do brainstorming, but they're going to put their ideas onto something, onto a project that is going to promote that project, that's going to tune into what's in it for me, for people who are seeing it. You know, why should I go to this class? Why should I go to this training? Why should we complete this project? Why should we move in this new direction of change management in our organization? And these are the people who have the gift of just tuning into what's in it for me, for other people. And depending on, like I said, where they are on that scale of temperament, they draw a lot of their creative energy from being extroverted or being alone, if they're lower on that scale or on the opposite side, I should say, of that scale.
So one of my big takeaways from this is fascinating. I love talking about this, Dawn, because communication is one of my niches that I like to work with people and coach people around. So this is just a fascinating discussion for me. So one of my big takeaways from this is really the importance of paying attention to the different, not just the different personality styles, but the different communication styles, and really putting yourself in their shoes and realizing how they take in information, how they process information, and the best language to use when you are coaching people of different personality types, different departments, and to really consider all of that as we enter those conversations and those coaching conversations we have with them.
Okay. And I wanted to add to that, Margo, something to consider. There's two things. Number one, some people say, well, am I being fake when I'm speaking somebody else's language? You know, I'm me, they should just take me as I am. This is my style and they should just accept it. And the way I address that is going back to the original part of our conversation. Well, when you travel to a foreign country, you know, I've been to places where there are people who expect their server in a restaurant or the people they're speaking with on the street to speak the same language. And in our case, that would be English. And I did watch somebody when we were in Paris ask somebody where the Louvre was. And the person literally muttered something to them in French and kept walking on. And the tourist who happened to be an American was like, oh, those French are such snobs. And it's like, whoa, hey, hang on a second here. He was speaking his language, but you were speaking your language in his territory. Help me understand here, who's supposed to adapt to the other person's language? So when a person thinks, oh, I'm being fake or phony speaking someone else's language, no, you're learning enough of the language to accomplish your goals and objectives. Let them know that you're trying to, and then you're coming to an understanding of what's the best language we can communicate to accomplish our goals and objectives and play nice in the sandbox, so to speak.
Yeah, I love that. My three favorite words in the English language, help me understand.
Yes.
Those are often underused. And so I find those three words very helpful. So Dawn, I understand that you have a complimentary gift for our audience today. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I am more than happy to share with your audience the Top 7 Personality Challenges ebook, which was the number one selling ebook, actually was on iTunes, the number one selling audio on iTunes in, I think it was 5 European countries, and then in the USA, and then in Australia, it was number one. It was up there for like 11 weeks.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Thank you. And here was the cool thing about that for me. It told me that we're onto something, because whether you're in America or in Africa or Australia or wherever you are in the world, we all have different personality types. And if we can understand enough of the other person's language to accomplish our goals and objectives, it's really universal. There are 7 primary challenges. If we can do our best to communicate with each person in a style that moves us forward instead of backwards, that's going to make a big difference in our progress in our relationships. So for your listeners, they can go to my website, which is dawnjones.net. That's dawnjones.net. Enter in their email information and they will receive an email that says, do you want this copy? And then you confirm your email, say yes, and you will get a link to the best-selling Top 7 Personality Challenges.
Great. Well, thank you, Dawn. I appreciate you joining me today. And I think that we have certainly learned more about communication, especially when we're dealing with project management. And I foresee another conversation more related to project management in our future. So thanks for joining me today. And we hope you'll join us for the next episode of Coaching Conversations with Margo Myers. And don't forget to check out the Shipley Coaching website at shipleycoaching.com, where you can find articles, links to podcasts, and learn about some of our programs, including our ICF accredited coaching certification course. And you can also learn how to partner with us for our leadership engagement course. We are here to share discovery that inspires growth.